Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday night at 7.
Please be opening your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 1 this morning. Romans chapter 1. While you're turning, please allow me to express my appreciation for your being with us today, and thank you for the opportunity to be here to study with you from the Word of God. I would love to spend some time reminiscing and talking about family and days gone by, and perhaps we'll be able to do that some other occasion. I'd like to spend time reading all of the cards that we received, letting us know of your excitement for this gospel meeting. Maybe we'll do that later, but we have not come today to reminisce about old times or to read cards. We've come to study the Word of God. In our world today, you look around and you wonder, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God fix our world? There's sin and chaos. There are wars. There are problems in people's families. We're living in a day when abortion is becoming the norm for many doctors and many people who at one time claimed to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're living in a day where you turn your television on and you're bombarded with a homosexual lifestyle. And you wonder, could the world be any worse? Why doesn't God fix all of this? And you wonder if there's ever been times in the world where there have been situations like we find ourselves in today. If you look with me at Romans chapter 1, in verses 18 through 32, the Apostle Paul paints a vivid picture of a world in sin. If we were to take the time this morning to read that entire section of Scripture, we would see a world that is very much like the world in which we live today. We would see a world that is filled with sin. Paul writes about homosexuality. He writes about children who will not obey their parents. He writes about people taking other people's lives. Paul paints a vivid picture of a world in sin. And in Romans 1, 18 through 32, Paul is talking about a Gentile world. A world, to use his words, a world that did not have the benefit of the written law of God. But these are people, he said, who should have known God, even though they did not have the law of God. They could have known about God just by looking at the world around them, by looking at the creation. What is known, what could be known about God, was written on their hearts. And then you turn the Bible, the page to Romans chapter 2, and you read that Paul says not only is the Gentile world a world in sin, but so is the Jewish world. He says in the beginning of chapter 2, oh man, you are without excuse because you had the written law of God. You had God's Word. You should have known about sin and wickedness. You turn to Romans 3 and you read verses 9 and 10 and it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And you read Romans 3 verse 23 and it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so Paul is very clear that the world in which he lived was a world that was gripped by sin and by Satan. John would say a few years later that the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. And that the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the vainglory of life have taken over the minds of the men and women of the world. But Paul discusses this, and if you go back to Romans chapter 1, in verses 15 through 17... you're very familiar with Romans 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. You know that verse 15 says, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to those of you who are Rome. And during the Bible class hour, we're going to emphasize Romans 1, 15 and 16. But do you know what verse 17 says? The reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel is because in it, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And then he says, the just shall live by faith. Your Bible may say, the righteous shall live by faith. Or some translations say, by faith the righteous man shall live. And Romans 1:17 is a very interesting passage of Scripture. In this passage, Paul is quoting from an Old Testament book, the book of Habakkuk. I want to ask you to take a moment this morning and turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. If you're not real familiar with that, it is an Old Testament book. It is on the left side of your Bible. It's a little bit further back from Romans, not far away from Matthew. In the book of Habakkuk, this prophet of God is writing about a world that is a wicked world. Listen to some of the things that he says beginning in verse 1. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee violence, yet thou dost not save. Here is a prophet of God who is saying, God, this world is in trouble. Why aren't you doing anything? Why don't you come down here and clean up this mess? And he pleads with God, and he says, God, there's violence everywhere. The wicked seem to be overtaking the world, and there's injustice in our world. God, why don't you do something about this? And when you turn to Habakkuk, the end of chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, he says, listen to me, Habakkuk. I want you to know something. I am doing something about the mess the world is in. And what you need to remember, Habakkuk, is that God is still in charge. I'm still in charge of the world. And I'm going to make everything right. But the main thing you need to remember, if you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But then the words say, but the righteous will live by faith. And Paul takes this direct quote in Romans 1, verse 17, as he looks at the world in which he finds himself, and he finds this world in a mess. And Paul, perhaps, was just like Habakkuk, and he was saying to God, God, why don't you do something? There's violence everywhere. There's wickedness everywhere. There's injustice throughout our world. God, why don't you do something? And Paul is reminding those people, and he reminds us that by faith the righteous will live. Ladies and gentlemen, our world is not the first time, our society, our generation is not the first to find itself living in a wicked world. Paul's generation found themselves living in a wicked world. Habakkuk's generation found himself living in a wicked world. And before that, long before that, there was Noah and Job and others who found themselves trying to follow God, living in a wicked world. And the question is, what are God's people to do? What are we supposed to do if we don't like the mess in our world? What are we supposed to do if we don't like the shape our world is in? What can we do? And the answer comes back from the days of Habakkuk to the days of Paul to our day. Remember that the righteous will live by faith. By faith, the righteous will live. Paul emphasizes faith in living throughout the rest of the book of Romans. As a matter of fact, from Romans chapter 1, here in verse 15, down through about chapter 5, verse 2, you'll find the word faith more than 20 different times, depending on the translation you're using. Over and over and over again, in this book, in the first part, Paul emphasizes faith. It is by faith that we are saved. It is by faith that we are to live. And so he places the emphasis on faith. And then, as a matter of fact, the word live occurs about two times in these sections of the book of Romans. And then Paul comes in Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 through about chapter 9. And the emphasis now comes from faith to the word live. And Paul talks over and over again about living the life that we are to live now that we understand faith. And in chapter 6, he will explain that faith will lead you to be obedient to Christ. That faith will cause you to obey Him. That faith will bring you to Christianity. And then there is a certain way that a child of God is to live. So you have faith and live. And Paul understood that faith had to be the basis. Faith was the premises for all of life for the child of God. It is by faith that the righteous will live. Well, Paul understood this throughout his life. And so you read passages like Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul said, for the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. But the question that we would raise today is, what does that mean? What does it mean if in our world we find ourselves in a situation that we don't like and we understand that by faith the righteous will live? What does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean for the child of God to live his life every day in when sin is being thrown into his face? What does it mean to live by faith? Well, Paul answers this in a number of different passages of Scripture, but we want to focus this morning for the rest of our time on the book of Philippians, chapter 3, if you'll turn there. Because in this chapter, Paul gives to us three avenues through which we can travel in this life if we are going to live our lives by faith. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning is to think about the fact that we live in a sin-filled world, much like the world in which Paul lived, much like the world in which Habakkuk lived. And we must understand that it is by faith that the righteous man will live. The word righteous there, by the way, simply means the right man, the one who is going to do right, the one who is going to live a godly life. And so Paul gives us three avenues through which we must walk if we're going to live our lives by faith. Number one, Paul says if you're going to live your life by faith, you must forget the past. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, in the first part of this chapter, Paul spends a lot of time talking about his past. He talks about his lineage. He talks about his heritage. He talks about where he came from in his life and some of the things that he had done. He talks about his history of the life of Paul. And much of it, if you set it up on a basis of the world looking at it, it would appear to be a beautiful life, a good life. But Paul said, if you'll look with me at verse 12, not that I have already attained or obtained it or have already become perfect. Well, Paul has already said back in verse 10 that I want to know Him. I want to be conformed to His resurrection power. And he says, I haven't obtained it yet. I'm not yet perfect. But I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, he says, I forget the things that are behind, and I press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. If we are going to live our lives by faith, it is necessary that we forget the past. And again, Paul was focusing to a large degree upon the good things in his life. And there are too many people who claim to be followers of Christ, who claim to be Christians, who cannot move on in their life, who cannot live their life by faith, who cannot live the righteous life because they are holding on to the past. And if you want to live your life by faith, you cannot hold on to the past. There are some Christians that can't move on because of guilt from sin in their life. Maybe some sin that they committed years ago, something that they did, maybe a lifestyle that they had grasped a long time ago, and they are sorry for that, but they can't ever seem to forgive themselves, even though they seem to believe that God has forgiven them. If you're going to live your life by faith, you must forget the past. But it's not always about sin. There are some people who are always resting on the laurels of the past. They're talking about the way things used to be. When I was a kid, it was this way. And these are the things that we were taught, and this is what we learned. Paul says, if you want to live your life by faith, you must be willing to forget the past. You see, you cannot hold on to the world and Jesus Christ at the same time. It is an impossibility. I heard about a fellow who went to his girlfriend, his sweetheart, and he said, honey, I love you, and I want you to be my wife. I love you more than anything, and I want you to be my wife. He said, now, you need to know that I don't have a lot of money like Jeremy Taylor does, but I love you, and I want you to be my wife. And you need to know that I can't buy you a big house like Jeremy Taylor could, but I love you, and I want you to be my wife. And you need to know that I can't buy you a lot of jewelry like Jeremy Taylor can, but I love you and I want you to be my wife. And she said to him, honey, I love you too, but could you tell me just a little bit more about this Jeremy Taylor fella? And I think that there are a lot of Christians who struggle with that in their own life. They say, Lord, I love you and I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be my God, but I want to know a little bit more about the world. And God says, you can't hang on to me with one hand and to Jeremy Taylor with the other hand. If you are going to live your life by faith, you must forget the past. And it may be in this audience this morning that there are some who are holding on to the past. And you've got to let go. Number two, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 that we must forget the past. Secondly, we must follow the right path. We must follow the right path. And so Paul says, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't obtained the goal. I have this goal in my mind. The goal is to be like Jesus based on Philippians 3 verse 7 and Philippians 3 verse 10. The goal is that I would be more like Jesus. That's the goal of my life. I haven't reached it yet, but I'm going to forget the things that are behind. Now I'm going to follow the right path. Look at what he says in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Listen, Paul says, I want you to follow my example, not because of me, but because Christ is living in me. So he would say in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2, follow me even as I follow Christ Jesus. And Paul is making it very clear here that we are walking, I'm doing my very best to walk according to the pattern. Paul recognized that he had been given a pattern. And what was his pattern? His pattern was Jesus Christ. And so Peter would write, Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. He would write in Galatians 4, verse 19, my prayer is that Christ would be formed in you. So you follow the right path. And Paul delineates and makes it clear that there is a right path and there is a wrong path. And there is a wrong path that you should not follow. So he says in verse 18, for many walk, of whom I've often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. If you want to live your life by faith, you cannot follow those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul explains further exactly who these people are. He says their end is destruction, their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They have set their minds on earthly things. If you want to live your life by faith, you cannot set your life, your mind on earthly things. It is easy to do in our world. It is easy to get caught up in the world. It's easy to follow the wrong path. And Paul says, if you're going to live your life by faith, you cannot do that. You cannot hold on to the path and you cannot follow the wrong path. And Paul is very clear here that there are many who have set their mind on earthly things. But look at verse 20 or verse 20, where Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, many have their mind and their heart and their life and their treasures on this earth. But if you're going to live your life by faith, you'll have your mind and your heart and your life in heaven. For our citizenship. The word citizenship there is a very interesting word. It is the only time that the Greek word that translates the word citizenship is found in the Bible. The only time. It is a word that was used to describe people who had been taken captive and removed from their homeland and they had been taken to another land. And they would say, our names, we're just here temporarily, but our names are on a register back in our homeland. And Paul used that terminology to describe our lives. And he said, we may be living here on this earth for a time, but our real citizenship is in heaven. We've been taken captive here, but our names are on a register in heaven. And so when you obey Christ, when you were baptized for the forgiveness of sin, you might remember the preacher saying something about the fact that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what Paul is saying here is, if you want to live your life by faith, you will not become entrenched in this world. You will not think about this world. You will not love this world. Your mind will not be in this world. Your mind will be in heaven. Your home is in heaven. And so he would say in Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, that we are not to allow our affections to be set on this world, but our affections are to be in heaven. We must follow the right path. And then the third thing that I want to mention, if you're going to live your life by faith, you must not only forget the past and follow the right path, but number three, you must focus on the prize. You must focus on the prize. Now, Paul has already said in these passages, the prize, the goal is to be like Jesus. Philippians 3 verse 7 and 8 and Philippians 3 verse 10. I want to be conformed to Him. I want to be made like Him. And Paul says, I haven't reached the goal yet. That's the goal. But this thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget about the past. I'm going to follow the right path in my life. And I'm going to focus on the prize. So read with me verse 20 again, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 21. Who will transform this body. Who will transform this body, your Bible may say, of lowly estate or humble state. And who will conform it with His glorious body. By the working of His power, that He is even able to subdue all things to Himself. Paul says, there is the prize. The prize is that someday we will be made to be just like Christ. Someday He will transform us. The word transform there means to be changed. I believe that Paul is very clearly saying that there will come a time somewhere out there in the future where we will be glorified with Christ. We will be changed. This body of our lowly estate, this body that Paul would say in other passages like 2 Corinthians 4, is decaying, is rotting away, is wearing out. Someday He will take that body and He will transform it. He will change it and He will conform it unto Himself. The word transform means to change. The word conform means to be made like. And so you have passages like 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where John says, we do not yet know what He will be like when He appears, but we know this, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. He's going to transform us and then conform us into the image of Christ. Whatever Jesus is like, that's what we will be like. You see, that's the prize. We're to focus on that day. We're to focus on the time that we will be transformed from this body and conformed into the image of Jesus. You say, can He do that? And the answer is, of course He can. Of course He can. Paul makes it clear. He says, He'll do that by the same power that He used to create all things. If God can take nothing and create the world, if God can speak and life comes into existence, if God can take a piece of clay, dirt from the ground, and create man, if God can put man to sleep and take the rib from the side of man and create woman. Of course, you do understand, men, that was the prime rib that He took. And create woman. If God can do that, If God can, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, by His power raise His Son from the dead, if God can do that, Paul says, don't you know that God can recreate you and that God can change you so that you will be conformed in the image of Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss it. The goal and the prize are the very same thing. The goal is to live my life by faith, to become more and more and more like Jesus, to walk the way that Jesus walked, to forget about the things in the past, to make sure that in my life I'm following the right path, and to focus on the prize. The goal is to be like Jesus. The prize is, if you live your life by faith, someday you will be made to be just like Christ. By the power of the one who created us. The goal and the prize are the same thing. Now, we said in the beginning, by faith the righteous will live. And so it starts with faith. And Paul will place a great deal of emphasis on faith. He'll talk about it over and over and over again in those first five chapters down to Romans 5 verse 2. Over and over and over again, he'll mention faith. And so it starts with faith. It's not a dead faith. It's not an inactive faith. It is a faith that causes one to respond to the message of Jesus Christ. It is not just mental assent. It's not just something that you have in your heart. It is a faith that leads you because you understand that God is the Creator and someday He will be our judge. It leads us to be obedient to Him. It is a faith that causes us to walk away from the past, to repent. The word repent simply means to turn toward God. It means I've been going down the highway one way in my life and now I want to turn around and go the other way. It is a faith that causes you to repent. A faith that will cause you to cry out the name of Jesus, to confess His name before men. And a faith that will lead you to be buried with Him in baptism, to become a child of God. It is an obedient faith. And if you are present this morning and you've never obeyed Jesus Christ, may I plead with you today, don't hang on to the past anymore. Forget about the past and follow the right path, the path that God has laid out for you in His Word. You can become His child today. You can begin to live your life by faith rather than by the norms and the mores of this world. And if you're a Christian and you're not moving ahead in your life, if you're not focusing on the prize, maybe something happened in your life years ago that caused you to lose some of your faith. Maybe something happened in your life years ago. Maybe you were disappointed by someone in your family or your own life or maybe even a leader in the church and it caused you to say, well, I will attend the services, but that's all. You see, living by faith doesn't mean I'm going to go to church and that's it. Living by faith means that every day of my life, I will live for God. I will live to bring glory to Him. I will live to serve Him every single day of my life. If you haven't been doing that, won't you get back on the right path today? Won't you make sure that heaven is your focus? Make sure that the goal will someday be given to you as a prize. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come while we stand together and while we sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.